This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. Not a single EFL fixture since we were last with you. So turning a challenge into an opportunity and all that, we thought we'd revisit the theme of what exactly it's like to be a Football League manager. We've got a couple of real life ones joining us. We're going to get them to scrape beneath the surface and open up on one of the country's most precarious jobs on this special edition of the official EFL podcast. So you're a football manager. Everybody wants a piece of you. Everybody thinks they can do your job better than you. Everybody always wants more. So what is it like to have every decision questioned and scrutinized? What's the reality between what we as fans think is going on be what actually is? And when the world seems to be conspiring to bring you down, how on earth do you keep going? From Skybet League One, let's ask the former West Brom, Doncaster Rovers and current Sheffield Wednesday manager Darren Moore, and from Skybet League Two, the former Fleetwood Town, Barnsley, Shrewsbury Town, Dundee United and current Tranmere Rovers manager for a second time, Mickey Mellon. Resplendent gentleman, of course. I start to think you haven't got any of your own clothes, because to play into the management hands, you've both got the tracksuit tops on and things. Here's where I want to start, Darren. What's the number one misperception of a football manager, do you think, with people that you meet? What do we think the job is be what it actually is?
I think the job is potentially that, you know, they miss potentially what can happen in the week in a training in a build up to a game. I think the general public feel that we just turn up on a Saturday and everything's run plain sailing smooth in the week in training, and they don't see all the hidden agendas that you might have to incur right up until the last minute, you know, in terms of preparing your team in training. And those guys that you're preparing week in, week out are human beings like us, anybody us, or their fathers, their sons, their husbands. And, you know, the same things that, you know, that we all face from a day-to-day life, they too face it. So they can have a disrupted week, and you're trying to always keep the cohesion of the group going. But right up to the last minute, things can change. On Saturday, I had a player pull out the last minute through illness that you'd been preparing all week to start with, and one of your starting 11s pulled out. So things like that, really, that can disrupt. I think, you know, the supporters, because they don't see it, they probably feel that we've had a clean week, we turn up, and the players should just perform for 90 minutes and perform well. And what else have they got to think about and consider?
Yeah, and to that end as well, Darren, I mean, is there a kind of subculture of stuff that's not said as well? Is the stuff that always remains under the surface that just can't be let out?
Yeah, and it's always difficult, because as a manager, you're trying to give everybody as much as you can, because it's the supporters, it's their team. But you can never reveal too much and everything at once, because you got to remember you're competing against opposition teams and managers. That any little bit of information that can give them the slight advantage, they're going to take. So you're trying to balance a fan base and a club and you know, the culture of the club and the integrity of the club, as well as managing, you know, tactically and trying to understand so that oppositions can't listen in and pick up any little tidbits that, you know, what's happening in the week, you know. So it's a real fine balancing act, really, that you're trying to do from week to week.
Somebody comes up to you, Mickey. What's the number one question that a manager would hate to answer, or perhaps along the way raise your eyebrows?
I think, like Darren said there, the hardest part is always when you're doing tactics and you're doing teamwork during the week. We all kind of work in Disneyland, don't we, in Hollywood, and everything goes right. Everything goes right during the week. But then what you've got to factor in is, like Dan, exactly what you said there, they're human beings. We don't know, and nobody ever really factors in. People can play poorly. They can just have a bad game, but you don't know who that may be. And in an opposition, they may have somebody that plays poorly or plays really, really well. So the question you get asked, like things like, what are you doing with them during the week? And what are you teaching these and things? A lot of the time we are learning about how the team is going to perform during the game as well. Things are happening that we didn't practice during the week, or players make decisions. So I'd say the hardest part about management is what you can control and what you can't, and what you get the blame for and what you don't.
In your own words, give me a sentence from both of you to articulate what it is like to be a football manager. Let's say, Darren, I've met you on holiday and I go, oh, you're a lovely fella, but I haven't got the faintest idea about English football at all. I'm just a lift maintenance guy from Wisconsin or something. How would you describe the role of being a football manager in as tight a nugget as you can?
Yeah, no, football manager, and obviously, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, and, you know, somebody that's ultimately trying to compete week in, week out against opposition to try and win as many games as possible in a real, real difficult competitive field, however which way you look at it, you know, but we're in it. And listen, Clem, I'm happy to have this, the opportunity, as is Mickey will say, to be a manager, to represent. It's a wonderful, unique position, but it comes with a lot of responsibility inside and outside the football club.
Well, if that isn't worth a further scrape and another question, Darren, I don't know what is. And jump in, Mickey, as well. Don't wait for my questions. Come on, what do you mean by that, Darren? The responsibility. Where do you feel it? How does it ingest itself? Do you feel it emotionally? Do you feel it physically on your shoulders? What is it like?
I think for me, you got a responsibility of the whole structure of the football club, because you got the players, immediately you got the staff, and immediately what happens on the football pitch sort of sends messages and waves through the whole stadium, into the sort of the supporters every single week. You are the voice and the face of the football club, because every single week myself and Mickey's got to speak week to week, in terms of post-match, after the match, in terms of how we felt the game, how we've set up for the game, and how you felt the game has gone after the match, and try and summarise within minutes, really, to bring the game into context before and after the game to a fan base, really, that it's an industry that you're in where everybody's got their own opinion. So no matter what you say, some are going to like it, some are not going to like it. Even when you win a game, some are going to like it, some are not going to like it. When you lose a game, some are going to like it, some are not going to like it. So we're in a position where you're trying to give a one message that you hope will be received by all in terms of what you're trying to do at the club. And we're committed to the job, you know, for the both clubs that we're at. And I suppose most managers will say we're committed to the job in trying to do the best that we can in trying to bring success to the club.
I mean, Gareth Southgate has talked to me a couple of times about the fact that he probably spends as much time on messaging, preparing for press conference, as he does training sessions, Mickey. Now, obviously, he has got an entourage of coaches. He's not planning every session and stuff like that. But is your world a sort of slightly smaller version of that scenario Gareth's outlined?
No, I'd say, I think the best way to put it is, I think, if we were paid by the hour, we'd probably be better off, Clem, because we're always working. I don't think you ever, this is the thing, you don't stop being a football manager at 5 o'clock. It just is ongoing all the time. And even if you say you're not answering phone calls or you're not answering texts or whatever, or emails, they'll be building up anyway, but you'll still be thinking about what am I doing tomorrow, how did training go today, how's the lads? Did I get the message into the lads that I wanted to get into them today? Are they understanding what we're trying to do? Have we got enough stuff for the weekend? Blah, blah, blah. And then you go into the staff. Are the staff okay? Is the people in the building okay? Make sure you keep that relationship right with the supporters for when you've got your next interview. So it is just constant and you're on it all the time, I don't believe it matters. I think probably the spotlight is absolutely on you more if you're Gareth Southgate, more or all the time, but the workload will still be the same, will still be going. Even when you have that many staff, I've had a lot of staff and I've had smaller staffs, you're managing them as well, because at the end of the day, you're the guy who's supposed to be at the front and sort of taking their ideas and formulating them and putting them into something that's going to help us try and win games of football.
But I was just taking the theme that Darren had set, which is that awareness of everything that comes out of your mouth, for example, will have some impact on somebody somewhere. So are you in the technical area 10 minutes before the end of a game? And although you are concentrating on the game, a little part of you is thinking, right, I just need to be careful when I come off here, when I go in front of the press or go on the radio and thousands of people are listening, that I say that rather than that. Is it that kind of thought process?
Yeah, I tell you what else happens, and Dan will laugh. I guarantee Dan will laugh at this. So I, many years ago when I was a younger manager, I used to hate that when you walked into the press room and you did your press conference and then you would sort of read back maybe some of what was getting said. And the first sort of sentence in the reporter's script of you was, a frustrated Mellon walks into the room. So when I go into the room now, I say to the press, what do I look like just to see that what you're going to say I'm look like? Is it am I angry? Am I confused? And then that projects to the people reading it that I was frustrated or I was angry. And then if you go in and you just try and be like monotone, they'll comment on what you look then as well. A disinterested looking Mel and walked into the room today. You just think, you can't, what's going on? Because so that's the problem that you get all the time is you're getting, Darren's absolutely right, you're getting judged all the time. And how you look, how you perceive to look, what you say, how you say it, what tone you say it in, an angry Mickey Mel or a frustrated or an animated, or they can say whatever they want, but is it fair? A lot of it, no.
Yeah, you have to let a lot of it go then, Darren, stuff that's being said in and around. You just got to get in your own bubble and insulate yourself.
Yeah, I agree, because I think that the big thing for me, and hopefully Mickey will be the same, is as long as you're going to each and every single day and you work to your absolute max and you try and do as best as you can for that particular day, for me, I need to put my head on the pillow at night, really, and just make sure that everything that I've done for that day has been done to the best of my ability. And it's a daily occurrence, really. You know, you get up in the morning and you're ready to go again, because the players, the staff, need me in throughout the day. And Mickey's touched on it before. Your work never finishes. I actually probably get the best work done is probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock when the building's empty, and then you have that time to really start implementing some of your ideas and getting set for the next day, the week ahead, and start planning. So it's a real consistent, but you have to be at peace within yourself, because I think if you go and listen to the outside noise, you'll get pulled all over the place, and you just got to stay consistent. We've all got our own ideas. Everybody's got their own ideas, and there's not a right or wrong way with it. It's just what the individuals believe in terms of setting that culture, that ethos, that competitiveness, formation, whatever it may be, that all goes in tandem with managing a team and running a football club to the best of the ability. And we have integrity. We're honest. We're committed to the job, because that's what the job takes today, no matter what level you're at. And as I said, it's a job where you're consistently learning on the job. None of us, myself and Mickey's never been through COVID, never had that to deal with those situations at club. So it's something, again, that previous managers before has never been through it, that's been in the game and retired, have never been that. So it's a lived experience consistently on a day-to-day and a weekly basis. And it's all part and parcel of the job.
Do you have to develop a little bit of a gap, and does it get easier, that being comfortable in your own skin, the longer you are in the industry, the confidence that comes with promotions, Mickey, or, you know, reaching a big play, a set of playoffs, Darren, or getting through the challenges along the way, like being sacked? Do you develop that little bit of a distance from the coal face to give yourself that peace of mind, Mickey?
I think what you get good at, Clem, is dealing with it. I was listening to Darren there, and when you, things like come all the time, like Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it, I don't think you can ignore it. But what I have learned to do is get different people on my staff to tell me of things that I think that I should have to deal with. So don't come to me with Joe the Butcher from the corner, thinks that you're tactically inept, Mickey, and why are you playing me two up front? And when you don't think that really that that's going to make, we say that, make the boat roll faster or whatever, but if there's something that they think that there's a lot of noise about, then I'll make sure that I attend to it. But only tell me that. So as Darren's saying, you go along and you get better at things, because we're learning and we're adjusting all the time. And that's all I've done through my football career. I understand what I can control and what I can't. I have processes for doing things. I've got better at that. I've got ways of speaking to my players that I think works, because I've been a manager for a long time now. Look at training sessions, we know how it impacts on the players, and I've got good staff here that I can speak to and trust. I've got people around me, a support network around me that I can say, did I perform well today? What do you think there? And I'm not bothered about what they say to me, but because I know where it's coming from is from a good place that can make me better. How did you think my team played today? Well, I think this and that. Okay, and have a discussion. So I've got a support network around me and a process system around me that protects me. I know where to go for info and where not to go. I know what's important and I know what's not. And I know where I can go and get myself some time with the right people, and I know where not to go. And I think the experience, you just learn that. And I think I was listening to something today, and I've always stuck by this. Sir Alex Ferguson was talking about him and said, don't go looking for confrontation. It will come to you if it's going to come. And I do the same with decisions. People always say to me, Mickey, decisions, decisions, decisions. I don't go looking for, unless it's right here, I won't go making decisions, because there's no need to, until somebody says to me, yes or no, the button's getting pressed. And I'll go, oh, yeah, do it. Because I don't rush decisions. And then a lot of the time, because I don't make the decision, it will find its own way. So I don't go looking for decisions and I don't go looking for confrontation. And that's something that I've learned. And they're things that me and Darren will learn as we go along on managerial journeys. When you're in big playoff games, what's important, what's not important, and big cup ties and things like that, you just get more experienced at it. And your learning journey, you're going out there and you're speaking to the right people to try and find better ways of doing things. And that's all we do all the time.
Yeah, but to add to that, to go back to my previous question, Darren, you know, if you have been through challenges and come out the other side, or if you have got a track record of taking a club to finish in the top six, that must help to build your self-confidence levels, doesn't it?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And I think as well what Mickey's saying is that Mickey Mellon and Darren Moore from 0 to 50 games with different managers, from 50 to 100 games with different again, from 100 to 150 games. So it all comes in terms of the job, because of the repetitive environment that you've been in and the different environments and working with the different personnel. What Mickey's learned is to find a formula in it and keep developing that formula and trimming that formula. And I think certainly for my situation, in terms of, yeah, the clubs that you've led into those top six positions, you feel that there's a formula that you've had and a consistency in working with a group of players that you probably felt that there's not been much wrong with it, but within it, you're still finding those few yards or those inches or those gaining on even more times in the day to implement one or two things that's going to further strengthen that formula that you've had. And in hoping that you're doing it, you're hoping it then it's going to get you across the line. But there's a lot of other contributing factors that go in it. Recruitment of players, getting your right staff, getting the right culture in the football club, playing, having the playing, being able to play and develop a certain brand that you want to play in terms of the football. So there's so many contributing factors within it, Clem, that it's consistently worked upon on a day-to-day basis. And as you know, we're in a competitive leagues. We're both in competitive leagues where there's no given right. We're up against seasoned, good managers, good teams. Everybody's been coached. Everybody's been managed now. Every team's got their structure. Every team's got their own playing style because the press and the media now are demanding that really in terms of before when we was playing, there was you win a game, you move on. Here now is win a game. Well, how? What was it like? You lose a game. Well, how did you lose? You know, there's so much scrutiny in it, but it's all part and parcel of the game and how it's moved on to where it's at now because of the media coverage, what's around really. So yeah, it does give you confidence when you're successful in it and you're getting the longevity in it because I would suggest that you're doing something right along the way.
And that sort of validation of the work that you've done across the course of the day, and you mentioned a day, Darren. Mickey said he would go to one of his staff and say, have I had a good day? Are you similar or do you self-validate?
Yeah, no, I do self validate, but also as well, Mickey's right. My staff know that, you know, if there's something that I need to be pulled upon or they want to let it be known to me, I've got a real open door policy with them, really. And, you know, sometimes I pick their brains in terms of what they're thinking in situations. So I've gone into a situation in a certain way. But sometimes I do put them on the spot and pick their brains. But what I want them to do is be to express themselves. I don't want them to be hemmed in and sort of cloned in a certain way to say something that I want to hear. I know that I challenge them within because I just want to see what they're thinking. And ultimately from it, as much as I might have my own decisions, there is things subconsciously that they can give you that you might take on board and take it going forward. But it's an open ground for me with my staff and they know it. And that's really important to me.
Do you mind if I drill into one of the tougher side of this, which is losing your jobs? And you've both had what I would describe as a kind of rug pulled from your moment. Darren, you at West Brom, Mickey, you at Fleetwood. That moment when it comes, can we humanize it? Can we describe it, Mickey, as to what it actually feels like? Because for most people across society, for most supporters who might be listening to this, if they lost their job, it would be a major life event, let alone that it would have to be carried out in public forums. So can you take us into that moment, please, Mickey?
With some humour as well, even though it's a bit... So what happens is there's different ways that clubs would come to you and say to you that your time is up. Meet Fleetwood, I heard on the radio before it even came to me, which was disappointing, but that happened that way.
Wow. Sorry, I just want to be absolutely clear. You didn't have an inkling, or you had an inkling, but it got released before it had been officially done? Or are you saying...
Yeah, I heard before it was done. So somebody must have spoken, somebody's heard, and then it's gone that way. But these things happening, I was apologised to later, which is, well, no thing, because I was unemployed after that. Never mind. But anyway, it's a bit... So you're total control. It's yours, the club's yours, everything you're responsible for. And then in a blink of an eye, a flick of a switch, you're nothing. And then, this is the humour part, and Darren, we definitely had this moment at West Brom. You get the knock on the door and you get asked for the car keys, the laptop, and the charger. And you give these three things back, and the door shuts, and that's the end. The guy drives away in your car with your laptop and your charger, and he always asks for the charger, by the way. And away we go, and you see him disappearing, and with him disappearing out of your eye line, the football club goes as well, and you are no longer there anymore. And that's what happens. And I'm pretty sure the exact same thing would have happened to Darren Moore.
Well, I think we need, I mean, this is a serious subject. Can we just clarify, did they take the charger as well, Darren? Have you still got it in your desk drawer at home?
He's brilliant what Mickey said, but I mean, mine was, I had like a sort of a 3 month period to sort of hand mine back in. So that was it really. But, you know, going off what Mickey said, yeah, you can feel that. And I suppose for me, it was very, I felt different because at the time I had not one inkling that it was going to happen to me because, obviously when you're sort of doing well as what we were doing at the time or deemed to be doing at the time, I think we was fourth in the championship and everything to play for, not only just fourth, but for the top two, for the automatic spots and sort of to be told after the game in the manner was incredible, really.
It can be brutal.
Yeah, to be told. I honestly, I had not one idea at all, really, because I was so looking forward to the game. We'd done well in the game. We'd come out the game. I think we drew the game in the end, but we're still fourth and still doing really, really well. So to be told that was a real shock at the time, really, because and when I was told at the time, I thought it was a joke. I really thought it was a joke just at the time, but yeah, accepted it. Moved on and obviously we know what happened, like sort of out in the media with it, how it was brought to the attention of it. But I understand that's football. And I suppose for me, I suppose it was, you know, wanting the club to go and do that next stage, but that next step was not in place. So I was a bit disappointed to think that, you know, that even though I'd moved on, the next person wasn't in place and there wasn't a real backup plan for that, really. So in the end, I wish that I would have just stayed and finished the job, but it wasn't to be. So you learn from it, you handle it. But I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, when you do come out of it, you question yourself, you look within yourself. And I think that the biggest thing was ticking a box in your own self-esteem to go, no, actually, I was all right. Everything was fine. And in order going forward, I'm going to continue along the same path. But what I will do is making sure that you're trying to get better at the process that you're working under. And I think that's been it, really. So it's been self-assured within that when these disappointments come, you're able to look within and try and gain strength and be stronger through it.
Another part of that, Clem, was the support you get from the LMA is fantastic.
Yeah.
But the next morning, the LMA were brilliant. I get a phone call from Sam Allardyce, because you know I'm close with Big Sam, and he said, there you go, well done. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, welcome to management. That's you. You've done the full circle. Now go and get a job. And that's you done the full. And he was right, because yeah, that's the full circle of man. That's part of the learning. You've got to go and lick your wounds, reflect, and then work out when you're ready to go again. And then you do the full circle, and then you go to the interviews and all this, and go and get another job. And that's our world. That's how it works.
Yeah, and we kind of come full circle, Darren, because that was the point I was making. Having been through that experience, surely there must be that little bit of insulation round you now that you will try your very best at Sheffield Wednesday, or you at Tranmere, Mickey, with all the resources that you have available to you. You'll make the decisions you think are right at the time they need making. But ultimately, there's probably a greater force out there that exceeds that. And there are going to be occasions where you have to hold your hands up and say, I did my very best. Is that, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No. I think it's about human beings, isn't it?
Yeah.
I sometimes think that in today's society, definitely, where the amount of media that we do and the amount of times you hear our voice and the amount of times you see what we do, even at Tranmere, I think sometimes you can just get to a stage where it's a bit like a pantomime, isn't it? People just want a change. It can just be that. It can just be a change. You see it all through football now. It's part and parcel of the game now, is the change. People want just something new. And I think the LMA will tell you, and Dan probably knows this, and you know, Clem, you spoke to enough people now. When they make the change, there isn't that big a change that actually happens. It doesn't really get that much better. A couple of games and then it becomes the same, because it's the same resources that are still there. There may be a little impact for a wee while, but sometimes people just, if you've been there a long time, I mean, that's why Sir Alex Ferguson, I mean, he kept winning things, but you've got to admire that people didn't just get fed up with listening to him. They still liked him and what he was doing. So it's about that as well. Making sure that you try and keep reinventing yourself while you're speaking to the media and while you're doing your stuff. You've got to change your message the way that you say it, because if you keep saying the same thing, I think people go, oh, here he goes again. Here he's saying about the ref again, or he's saying about... Just got to really think about how you can keep moving things along all the time, because it is the world that we're in.
Mm. I mean, listen, I haven't even brought up the managerial stats, because I think they're just part of the job here now. And you guys, Darren, are always so dignified through those circumstances. For anybody that hasn't worked it out, the LMA is the League Managers Association, who look after the best interests of anybody who's ever been a league manager. I think what I can't remember who it was described it to me, Darren, but said that sort of drive home when you have lost your job, or that first few days, there's confusion there. You feel a little bit embarrassed. You're looking around to think, have I let myself down? Have I let my family down? That all those sort of broader connotations that I guess you've had to process, Darren, before you came out the other side and then got the opportunity at Doncaster.
Yeah, and you know, even to this day, you know, people will still talk to me about that time. And, you know, I've long gone and long moved on from that. But you do have a sense of reflection with that. And that's why I think when you do have that sense of reflection, it's with you. So as long as you realise that, because, as I said, you know, if you listen to the outside world, our jobs are in the public eye, really, on a daily basis. So that's why you've got to make sure that when you come in there, we know what we're in it for, me and Mickey. We know what we're doing in terms of it. We know the industry. We know what it's like. We know the games. We're ultra competitive. We're ultra committed to our football clubs. But we know that side of the game and the business exists. And we accept it for what it is, as does all of our other counterparts up and down the leagues. We know where it's at. And that's why, you know, we have to stay consistent. We have to stay humble. We have to be in touch with reality of life itself. And I think for me and Mickey, it's making sure that through it all, you know, we're big enough and got broad shoulders. I think it's more our families, making sure that the impact has not impacted them as much. But also, they're a wonderful support for us, and they always have and will be. So it's just keeping that really, Clem, at the forefront.
100%. Am I to assume the fact that you are both in work, and I assume willingly doing the job, that the buzz from the good times compensates for the horrible part of the challenging times? Whichever one of you would like to answer, please talk.
The buzz is very quickly replaced, but yeah, the buzz is very quickly over, and you have another game maybe on the Tuesday, or you're trying to deal with some stuff. So for us, yeah, it's great. It's great to win and get a result and all the rest of it. But you're very, very quickly. And I try to slow it down as I got older. I try to slow that. People, they'll say to me after the games now, so Mickey, good result today and Tuesday. We so what are you going to do this evening? You're prepping. I said, I was going to have a glass of wine, mate. That's it. That's all I'm doing. I'm thinking about nothing. I'm going to have a glass of wine and enjoy my evening. And then tomorrow, I'll think about tomorrow. And then we'll get on with tomorrow. Because it is such a tough, brutal job that we're in. You've got to try and celebrate the wins and enjoy the wins because the buh doesn't last very long. And you're very quickly on to your next challenge and your next chase of the buzz, as you say.
Yeah, and you've got to get that little bit of subjectivity and stand back, haven't you? I mean, Darren, I, at the risk of sharing a little insight, when I rang you to set this up, I think you were in the queue at your favourite West Indian takeaway, weren't you? Getting yourself some food, getting ready to go back and watch one of the Brazil games in the World Cup. You've got to sit back a little bit off it in order to get that distance between you and the decisions that need to be made, surely.
Absolutely, and not only that, but you're right, Clem. Mickey, you're right, because you need time to clear your head and think for the next one. You need to sort of declutter your mind from the build-up from that week, the intensity of the week, the hurdles that you've had to come over the week, the emotions of the game, the decision-making of the game, and you have to allow yourself that bit of time to reflect, to reposition yourself. And I call it just turning the page. We just turn the page and it's on to the next one. But in terms, before you get to that, if the time does allow it and you have had a good result, enjoy the moment. A lot of my counterparts in the game, you know, you get a result, they'll message me and say, Daz, put the ball away, really go and enjoy this time for the small moment it is, and then you move on to the next one. And as Mickey alluded to, I am learning to do that more so now, even more so, whereas before it was right, onto the next one. But now exhale a bit, breathe a bit, reflect, and then move on to the next one, really, and you know, turn the page and on to the next one. And that's what the industry and the business is.
I mean, I've enjoyed this so much, but have you two learned little bits just by chatting to each other and hearing each other speak?
Oh, you're always learning all the time. And what's nice, what you learn is that, and this is really a big one, and I've noticed that I'm getting on in management now, and these are the things that you see more. These things are good for seeing that other managers are going through the exact same misery and happiness and moments as you. And that's important, because sometimes you sit there and you think, is it just me that's taking this so badly? Or is it just me that's finding this at the minute a bit of a... No, every manager is going through it. They all go through it. No matter what level you're at, they suffer as well, and they have their good times, and they're trying to find ways of making things better. And it gets frustrating, and we're all frustrated. But this here, speaking to Darren, it just shows you that actually it's nice to see that other people are having the same challenges as yourself.
Yeah. Do you have a little journal or anything, Darren? Will you go away and reflect on this? And if there's the odd thing Mickey said, do you record it somewhere so you can look back and not forget it?
Yeah, for me, and Mickey said, honestly, after a game, when the managers, I always say to the managers, come in, and let's sit and we have a little get together, a little drink after the game, just for 10, 15 minutes before I head back up the road or they head back up the road. And it's such a wonderful feeling that you're sitting in a room with another individual that knows every word that comes out your mouth. He too can have, can reflect on it.
As long as you're beating them.
Yeah, honestly, it is, Clem, and it is that source of when you're in that room, because you know we know what it's like and in terms of it, and then it's on to the next one, really. And so you have a little bit of added support from that, really, in terms of going from there. But in terms of what Mickey said today, and you know, Mickey's been in the business and industry far, far longer than me, and what he said, it's such a refreshing reflection in terms of what I've taken from him, in terms of how he, you know, allows his staff to come to him and ask and question him on things, and you know, how he doesn't go looking for making those decisions that they'll find him. you know, things like that. Really, it's just that, and in terms of being patient and not being able to make those decisions, because in terms, some of those decisions sort of make it themselves and iron themselves out. So for me, there's a lot of things that I look on that that I can reflect and take from it in terms of going forward. So you learn a lot, really. But this is me and Mickey just being online, just being honest and truthful with the industry and the day-to-day managing clubs at whatever level you're at is absolutely spot on, whether that's international manager or through club football.
No further questions, my lord. Thanks for the insight, guys.
Great to see you, Dan. Good luck, my man.
And you too, mate. Good to see you.
Good luck for your results. God bless you. See you later.
Yes, mate. And you too, pal. Take care, mate.
There they go. Wasn't that great? We do have EFL fixtures this coming weekend. One in the Sky Bet Championship, then full programmes in Sky Bet League One and Sky Bet League Two, spread across the whole weekend, and some kickoff times still to be confirmed, depending on England's destiny as we speak. In the World Cup details, I think it's best to say it, on the EFL website. That is it for this special episode. A big thank you to Mickey Mellon and to Darren Moore. If you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating. Press the subscribe button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name is Mark Clement. Thanks very much for listening. Join us again soon for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.